from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I am Ryan Harkness.
Now, you may have remembered that I was in Calgary for all of 3 weeks. Now, this is us being back to regular podcasting schedule, I guess?
Yeah, if you guys were wondering, I did not have a sex change. I had been replaced. Replaced by Carissa, who I think did a pretty good damn show job as a co-host.
Everybody was really said nothing but positive things, except for one person who had accused her of having naive opinions about death. Because, as most of you know, Carissa is not, you know, super old. She's 22. She can't tell anybody. And I guess this, in some people's eyes, when you're young, you're not allowed to have any thoughts on death because I guess it's less close to you or something. Like, people die all the time, all right? It happens. Not exactly sure why anybody would think that age was a really good definition of or a good factor when leading to thoughts of death.
What's interesting, I would definitely say as a blanket statement that young people probably don't think about death as much, but if a young person proffered up a theory on death, I wouldn't just say, well, shut the fuck up, you kid. You don't know nothing. I'm like, you'd be surprised where the interesting original thoughts come from, you know? Completely different perspectives.
I think also you have to consider that not everybody follows the same kind of life path. So you could be 22 but have faced some shit, and you could be 50 and face nothing.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's something that you have to consider when judging experience. But all in all,
I'm not being replaced, am I?
You are not being replaced.
Damn it.
Damn it. Did you like your sabbatical, your 3 week vacation from podcasting?
It was kind of nice. Although I will admit, I think I mentioned this on the, because you guys did a live call in radio show.
We did.
And I phoned in and asked a question about the four horsemen of atheism. Because while you were gone,
he started reading, everybody.
Yeah, I started. Well, you know, I'm interested in atheism, but trust me, when you get atheism shoved down your pie hole every day, it's like.
Do I shove it down your pie hole?
Well, just look at it like this. Is this a bonus show?
No.
This is a regular show.
This is a regular free show.
Imagine living with this man is like having a bonus show 24 hours a day.
Dude, man, everybody would love that. They'd be like, yay, I want to take your place, Ryan. You're a weak atheist.
I will admit that after you left, I missed the atheism stuff. So yeah, I looked into other atheism things.
And what did you find generally?
You know, Richard Dawkins, that whole...
you tried watching The Enemies of Reason, right?
He had two. He had two documentaries, and the first one was good because it was pretty even-keeled. And the second one goes off the deep end because all of a sudden he starts taking the fight to all of these, you know, homeopaths and astrology people and stuff like that.
Right.
And I'm like, I can understand, like, in the first one he talks to a former Jew that had converted to being a Muslim, and he talked to some interesting major people and you know, had discussions with them that were a little bit hard-edged at times, but you know, that's fine. But when he talked to these other people, we went out and he made fun of the, spent like 15 minutes shitting on astrology. I'm like, nobody cares about astrology. It's not a danger anymore, Dawkins.
This is where I think you are wrong, my friend. This is where I think you're wrong. Because at the same time, we have this attitude, I think, in North America. We're like, oh, superstition doesn't harm anybody here. And well, number one, that's not really true. Where you have people that, you know, we'll choose crystals instead of fucking chemotherapy or all of this other bullshit.
Yeah, but nobody's choosing astrology over nothing.
No, but I think...
If you have a problem with astrology, you might as well have a problem with fortune cookies. Because they're on the same level.
They're really not. If they were on the same level, then there would be no fucking fortune tellers. There'd be no psychics. People call in these people asking them for life advice.
Based on their...
They ask cold readers What should I do with my life? Trust me, you do not want to ask a cold reader who is charging you $20 a fucking hour what to do with your life.
Yeah, I suppose maybe I'm just so far past that. And I will admit, it's like I've, you know, I've talked to girls who bring up their astrological signs.
And then they ask you, and they're like, what sign are you? Oh, we're not compatible. And you have to kind of wonder how many dummies have chosen not to pursue relationships and that kind of stuff based not only on their signs, but also on something they read in the newspaper saying like, oh no, I need a new love.
We've had this conversation before about whether or not you'd be able to date a religious person or not. And I would say I have no problem with that. People who honestly believe in that level of stupidity, I don't think I could.
Well, you know, it was funny that you mentioned that, because one of the things that Carissa showed me when I was down was a movie. I think it's called Magicians or something like that. It's actually featuring Mitchell and Webb. If that sounds familiar to you guys, they do sketch comedy, and specifically sketch comedy making fun of like God, making fun of homeopathy, all this kind of stuff.
They do Mr. God?
Is that No. You're thinking Mr. Deedy, and that's completely...
Oh, Mr. Deedy, there we go.
Mitchell and Webb, they're British. Uh-huh. Anyways, The movie is really about the magician scene, and there's this one character who basically, there's this girl who falls for him, and she actually think that he's really magical. And I was talking to Carissa because she's in the magic scene, and she tells me that there really are these types of people. You know, like if you're a magician, you will eventually or get laid by someone who thinks that you actually have powers. And you know that I didn't even fathom this. I didn't even think of this. It was not even in my fucking realm of thought.
Well, I can understand it, because trust me, when I was a DJ, I got laid by people who thought I was magical too.
It's my wand is magic. Suck my wand. It's magical.
Wicked, wicked magic.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, on today's show, we're going to talk about two main topics. The first one we're going to talk about is a prom in Mississippi that was canceled due to lesbianism. And we'll also be talking about an atheist facing serious jail time in England for putting blasphemous materials in Liverpool Airport. That's John Lennon Airport. For those of you that enjoy irony. But first, actually, let's talk about some of the movies that we're recently watching. Two movies in particular. The Mist and
End of the Line.
End of the Line. Yes, that's right. With a Canadian, I guess, apocalypse movie, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, here's the gist of End of the Line. It's all about a... the end of the world is happening, or so these religious people believe. So they have these really terrible cross knife.
Oh, they're worst props in the world.
And they go through and it's all about, and they start killing everybody. And it's all about these people who are in the Toronto subway because, hey, it's inexpensive to film down there.
It really is.
And they're escaping from these religious fanatics from
pretty much three different set locations.
Yeah, pretty
three
much.
Three of them. And yeah. But the part that we found the most interesting, though, really was how the religious people were portrayed. Because I mean, look, it's not any great piece of script here. It is not going to win any Academy Awards for best screenplay.
It isn't even going to even come close to winning a Gemini. The Gemini spits on this film. It's barely.
Everybody
TV
gets stabbed
worthy.
In the back. This is what happens in this movie. No one gets stabbed in the front except for like two people. Everybody else, it's always the back, because that's the cheapest. That is the cheapest place to stab someone in a fucking horror movie, because you don't have to show anything.
But
it's cheap.
A 12-year-old religious kid gets hit in the head with a sledgehammer.
No, with a crowbar.
Ah, there you go.
And he starts bleeding out of his really bad fucking haircut.
His cult haircut, I like to call it. It's like I've seen people with cult haircuts. It's like, oh, you're really fundamentally religious, aren't you? To have that haircut.
Also, all the cult members have these fantastically huge beepers that lets them know that they're supposed to kill everyone and send them off to heaven.
Yeah, two danger signs. Cult hair, cult beeper.
Well, don't forget the brown shirts that they all have. I also enjoyed how there were some of the cultists were unsure whether or not they should go through with it. And possibly the most hilarious slash disturbing scene is this, when one pregnant woman gets... pretty much killed, and her baby is cut out of the womb and placed beside her and the dying husband.
But you can't really think of it as disturbing, because just the way it was done was really not disturbing. And of course, you've watched the movie up till this point, and you're laughing at the whole thing because it's so god-awful, and it's pretty hard to take anything seriously. So don't worry about it. It's just good, amusing fun. Don't watch it unless you got some friends to watch it with you and make fun of
it. It's a crappy movie night movie.
But if you want to take somebody, if you want to take, say, an agnostic or just one of those fence-sitter friends of yours and push them off, make them watch The Mist. Because after they watch The Mist, they will realize that this is why religious people are dangerous. The Mist is all about basically The Mist coming in to a town.
To a New England town!
And basically, inside The Mist are Cthulhu evil-like monsters. And so these people are holed up in a
grocery store.
And one of the people there is a crazy religious nutbag, and she converts
everybody. Marcia Gay Harden, I believe, is the one that plays the... She won an Academy Award, by the way.
Damn. Well, she was pretty... I mean, obviously slightly over the top, but I think it would probably be how it would go down.
She was very convincing. She convinced me that she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought the most interesting part of it in The Mist was how slowly she begins to convert people that are obviously... You know, the moderate religious people that are kind of like, they sit on the fence for a little while, and then all of a sudden, wow, they certainly are convinced. Her words are powerful. God is punishing us.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about it is you can definitely understand in a horror situation like this where there are all these monsters outside and you're locked in somewhere that this could possibly be the end of days. But that's the scary thing because I can think of tons and tons. I mean, think about the earthquakes that have recently been happening. Think about 9/11. Think about everything else and how religious people say, that was God. And you're like, it was...
God's trying to communicate with us.
It was tectonic plates. It was, you know, other crazies that actually believe in God as well.
Crashing into buildings, yeah.
It's like, but they always... bring up, that was God. This is all about God. Make it about God. And only in these crazy pressure cooker situations can they actually pull that off to disastrous effect.
Ooh, that was almost a pun, I think. Yeah, I watched that movie before I really was super into the atheism thing. Because it's quite old, isn't it? It's like 3 years old or 4 years old or something like
that.
Well,
you're only like a 3 or 4 year old.
I didn't really... think about it too much. Come on, give me a break, man. I had other things going on in my life.
I don't know.
Like the majority of the listeners now.
Honestly, I think you short shrift yourself because you've been that annoying atheist friend for, God, for longer than I can remember.
Well, maybe not quite as hardcore as I am now, let's just say.
Let's just say when it came up, you fucking had some shit to say.
This is before I had that thing in my mind that prevents me from, you know, speaking it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the blocker. Being like, don't say this, Jacob. You might really insult someone.
When did you get that?
Recently. Mm. I'm still working on it. It's kind of like the levees in New Orleans. It can easily be overwhelmed.
Mm.
Okay, let's talk about first. Let's talk about Jackson, Mississippi, where a school there, the Itawamba County School Board, decided to cancel their prom because one of the students, Constant McMillan, asked for permission to bring her girlfriend to the prom and also for permission to wear a tuxedo. So rather than say no to her, which they knew would probably get them in fucking crazy shit with the ACLU, they decided to cancel the event altogether.
This is basically how it went down, is that they said no, the ACLU got involved, and then to spite the ACLU, they shut down the prom. Like, rather than either go to court or deal with it or anything else, they're just like, well, we're shutting it down because of the lesbians. You can all blame her. Which, to me, that's I think, the worst thing about this whole thing is the school board basically saying, we're shutting down the prom because of this lesbian. And I'm like, this poor fucking kid.
I know. And everybody's saying, like, oh, thanks a lot, bitch. You ruined my prom. And you know how much high school annoying students place, you know, like the importance they place on this ridiculous ritual.
I can't imagine how annoying jackass fundamentalist teenagers must be. Oh, God. Especially down south where they think
goodness.
They're right.
You know what's... Here's what's kind of ironic about Mississippi. It's got a huge gay and lesbian population. But not only that, but also I think they're one of the states where the most same-sex couple living with children.
Mm.
And also the most African-American same-sex couples living together of any other state. And you know, you kind of wonder, is this just a secret that nobody wants to talk about? Because it's not like there's no gays there.
Well, I mean,
there are plenty of gays.
I bet you a lot of the people that live there don't even know that. It's just, these people are not educated at all about anything going on. right underneath their noses.
I also loved how there's this one pastor who was saying, well, you know, we're really just, most of these people were, I've heard lots of people say that we're backwards, but we're just living with these biblical values. It's like, dude, the reason you're called backwards is because the Bible is thousands of years old. Yeah, of course you're going to be called backwards when your fucking manual was written at a time where people thought the diseases were caused by demons. Yeah, you're going to be considered backwards, you know, before they had modern germ theory, before we knew anything about the world, back when they thought that the earth rested on pillars and was flat. Yeah, you will be regarded as somewhat backwards when that's what you use to dictate your lives. This is also the same book that commands a woman to shut the fuck up. Over 200 distinct misogynistic passages that say exactly the same thing. Stay out of the fucking church when you're bleeding out of your vagina and shut the fuck up, bitch. This is what the Bible tells you.
Hey, women had their chance at the beginning and they ate the apple and fucked everything
They really screwed us over. That's why they get to the pain of childbirth, because they fucked up. What a merciful God. He's so wonderful. I love him. But you're right when you say that. I mean, it's a good thing that she's graduating, because damn, I wouldn't want to be in that high school when you're the lesbo who ruined the prom.
And again, just on top of that, these are the educators here. These are the educators.
Yeah, this is a school board. They have control over what your children are learning, what they is learning, according to George W. Bush.
Oh boy.
Is our children learning, Ryan?
But there is kind of a happy ending. Well, it's not even an ending, because God knows how this is going to play out, and we'll talk about that in a second. But a cool thing that just happened, right before we read the show, I read on the American Humanist Association that some of their donors had come forward and donated $20,000 so that they could do a non-discriminatory prom.
How much do they how much do proms cost over there?
Dude, proms cost a fuckload, dude.
Proms at my high school cost the school like $500.
I know,
honestly,
I know I'm saying dude a lot. But
yeah, dude.
Proms are like high school
now.
Weddings. They cost so much.
Why?
What do you mean why? You just don't understand because you don't give a shit. It's really expensive. I don't understand.
What do they buy?
Well, what do you think?
What do you get for $20,000?
Why do you think weddings are so expensive?
Yeah, but you're not buying a graduation cake. You're not buying a prom fucking... They're not buying you your prom dress. What the hell are they spending all this fucking money on?
There's just it's basically a bloodsucker industry. It's one of those ones where if...
The prom industry? Really?
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, like, well, that's confusing to me.
If you rent a limo from the airport, it's $35. If you rent a limo for your prom, it's $300. Ta-da.
So
that's
just
an example.
So here's what you do.
Industry.
You go with your prom dress and your date to the airport and you get picked up there by a limo. You're like, "Take us to high school, please."
I don't know if you want to go a step foot in an airport wearing a veil.
What? A veil?
Get it?
No, like, I don't get it.
Well, okay, wedding veil,
first,
right?
First of all, it's a prom. Why is she wearing a veil?
Ah, shit.
You're an idiot.
Sorry, I was thinking.
You've
wedding.
Ruined the show. Can I edit you out entirely?
Sure, it's not live.
Actually, that'd be kind of funny, a show where I edit all of you out. So I'm just talking to myself like a madman. It's like Garfield minus Garfield. Jacob minus Ryan. That's what you get for that horrible joke.
I deserved it. I apologize. Sorry, guys.
I think
my
we'll
first
forgive
show
you.
Back, and I'm already dropping the ball.
Ah, it's not so bad. Everybody's going to forget it. You know, this is the great thing about this show. Everybody remembers the hits, forgets the misses.
I think people still remember when you said that place in Africa was in the Middle East.
Shut your fucking mouth. You love that, don't you? You love it.
I do.
My favorite thing about my friends is how they love my failures. They're there to remind me of my failures. Keep me humble, everybody. That's what my friends do. They keep me very, very humble. Hmm. You want to talk about the next bit of news before we move on?
First, I just wanted to kind of ask you, do you think that, because you know, these people are putting $20,000 for, they're going to try and organize a non-discriminatory prom. Do you think that they're going to be able to pull this off, or do you think there's going to be more hijinks there? Do you think there's going to be the fucking anti-gay prom that bigot parents are going to organize for their bigot kids? And
yeah,
then there's
going to
be
so.
The humanist
so.
One that's going to have no one but this lesbian and her girlfriend in a tuxedo.
Look, dude, up until over the last year, maybe 2 years ago, there were still segregated proms in Georgia. I mean, come on, man. We like to think that we live in some progressive world, this is simply not true. I mean, yeah, you can put up the money and say, we're going to have a non-discriminatory prom. Parents aren't going to let their fucking kids go there, especially when they were interviewing some of the students, and some of them were saying, like, well, I don't agree with homosexuals, but I guess you can't change their minds. These people, are they going to get an invite and go? Don't fool yourself, man. Yeah, of course you're going to have a segregated prom. This is the way that America is now. It's divided along the middle. You got the crazy fucking right wings, and you got the lefters.
And it's so unfortunate, because I honestly do believe that everybody has a lot more in common than they do not. It's just that these fucking issues are being pushed to the forefront again and again because this other group is so fucking stupid.
I think, well, here's a good example, too, because me and Carissa always have very interesting political debates. She's a libertarian, and I suppose you would consider me somewhat of a socialist, maybe even a communist. I don't know, depending on where you're from. If you're American, you probably would think that I'm a fucking communist.
I don't know, because communism isn't communism. Because here's the thing. What people say communism is and what it really is are completely different.
Yeah, yeah. Things, I'm not a Bolshevik. I'm not a Leninist. Okay? That's what the Soviets were. And I'm not a Maoist.
But even a straight-up communist where I'm talking about equal distribution of wealth and resources. Are you a communist?
No. Okay, not in that matter. But like I said, it really depends on where you are.
That's
an American would consider me
libertarianism. I'm sorry.
An American would consider at least my degree of socialism to be communism. But the point is, whenever Carissa and I are having a debate, we're always forced to take positions that even we don't necessarily agree with, because you kind of feel the need to defend your particular ideology. And the truth of the matter is, we meet more in the middle than we would like to agree. But because our ideologies are not 100% compatible, we are forced to take sometimes even the most extreme positions. And I think that this is what is happening really in the United States right now. People are deciding to take these extremist views rather than reconciliate and find the things that they do have in common, because I think that people fear that as soon as you start, you know, sharing these commonalities, you're going to share these values and you're going to lose your values because they contradicted the values of someone else. It's fear of open-mindedness is really what it is at the end of the day. I mean, even when we debate, well, it's like, I don't want to take her position. I don't want to be a libertarian. I have reasons why I don't like this ideology. But it doesn't mean that in her perspective of libertarianism doesn't necessarily jive with my views. They might even be completely compatible. It might even be one of those weird paradoxes where you're agreeing but you're completely arguing. It's just because the way that you've come to your conclusions are different, or at least, you know, dissimilar enough that there wouldn't be any agreement. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's kind of that going on right now, where there is no fence sitter anymore, really. Now there's just these extreme opposite views, and that's what everybody is holding on to. I find that that's really fucking sad. And you have to wonder, what is the future of the United States as they continue to drive wedges? I mean, what do the conservatives call reconciliation? The nuclear option?
Yeah.
What kind of language is that? What exactly are you presenting here? That trying to work with your fellow man is like blowing them up?
Come on, these are the same people that talked about death panels. So what are you fucking, I mean, they were talking about, and you know, second only to talking about Wikipedia, the thing I hate most pulling my facts straight from is from The Daily Show. But they were talking about, they have a committee that sits around taking a look at what's going on and figuring out a new way to, new words to use to brand these things that Americans won't like.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like if you want to summarize the conservative movement in a way, it's just basically about creating talking points and then just drilling those talking points into people, because you don't need to know facts. You just need talking points that you can try to, you know, lambast at somebody else who's trying to argue with you, and you just keep saying, no, the death panels, he's a communist, he's a socialist. These are just simple phrases that morons can remember rather than important facts or proof of their beliefs. These things are not necessary. All that's necessary for you to be louder. And you don't think that that portion of society is very good at being louder? They're very loud. Religious conservatives, very loud. They like to tell you, screaming, what they believe. And as soon as you even just try to debate with them for 5 seconds, they're like, you lack respect, tolerance.
And if you want to think about how good these people are at doing all of this stuff, look at all of the stuff that they've thrown into doubt. All this anti-science stuff, anti-vaccination, anti-global warming, anti-evolution.
Fucking anti-science, pretty much.
Yeah, the list just goes
anti-stem
on.
Cells, anti-progress.
Pretty much.
We don't want to move forward. And what better way to not move forward than to not allow what is essentially, I mean, think about how innocent it is for a girl dressed in a tuxedo to bring her girlfriend to the prom. I mean, we all know what high school's like. It's all bullshit anyways.
Yeah, it ain't it. But here's the thing. Anything happening at the prom ain't innocent. You know you're bringing them there and that things are going to get hairy afterwards. So that's basically condoning that, man. I see in their warped little minds why they're like, you can't bring this chick to prom because afterwards you're going to go home and fuck her. So that ain't
that's
happening.
The implication.
That ain't happening on our watch.
That's everybody knows is what the prom is all about.
That's what that
whoever
is.
You take on a date, you need to have sex with. I think that's part of the charter.
It's one of those unspoken things that there's a lot of pressure, and we've all watched the TV shows. We know the score.
Dude, don't get educated by TV shows about proms in the United States or anywhere. You make me sad. You make me so sad. I want to cry.
Jake, just because you didn't have sex after your prom doesn't mean nothing.
I had sex à la main. Does that count?
I've never heard that expression. It's quite delightful.
No, never really. Wow.
No, à la main.
À la main.
À la main is probably the worst.
The worst?
Out of all the sexual acts you could do with another human being, à la main is probably the... Probably the worst. I'd take dry humping over à la main.
You're crazy. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about something that's really... For me, this is probably the most shocking thing that I've heard all year so far. This one guy called Harry Taylor in Liverpool, England, who leaves a bunch of cartoons in the prayer room of that airport. Now, these cartoons include, remember the No More Nails video that we put up on the site where Jesus, rather than getting nailed to the cross, they put glue on?
It was pleasantly blasphemous.
Okay, so there was that. There was a cartoon that appeared in the Danish newspaper with a Muslim guy saying, stop, there are no more virgins. Then there was some woman kneeling in front of a Catholic priest with the caption, no, my child, blow is just a figure of speech. So these are the cartoons that he puts there.
Mm-hmm.
He gets arrested. He gets charged with wait, let me see if I can find the particular charge here.
While you're doing that, I'll do a little tap dance.
Tap tap boo.
Yep.
Okay. The conviction is aggravated intentional harassment. Which is kind of funny because what harassment is intentional? I unintentionally harassed that man.
How can you harass somebody just by leaving around like some notes?
This particular law replaced their blasphemy bills in England because obviously people were like, you can't have a blasphemy bill. This is bullshit. Mm-hmm. So they just renamed it. They repackaged it into this whole aggravated intentional harassment. Now, he has been convicted by a jury of 12 people, all of whom, by the way, swore on the Bible. That's a different story altogether. One of the jurors, when interviewed, said that she was completely insulted and flabbergasted from his actions, which apparently merit a man potentially getting 7 years in jail because you're offended. Oh my goodness. Apparently now... I mean, it was great to hear the prosecution trying to defend their actions, saying, well, freedom of speech is important and it's a right, but we all know when that reaches its limits. I'm like, no, I actually, can you please explain to me?
Because it really doesn't sound, because this is the thing, there must be, paint this in the most devious of light in order for me to understand why they would arrest this person and prosecute, and even spend time in court, like, I mean, fine him. Obviously, I'm not going to be happy with that either, but at the very least, it's not potentially putting somebody in jail, spending all this time having a proper court case, and having the guy lose. What's going on here? What's the secret scoop, or is it just really that outrageous?
It's really just that outrageous. I can't paint this in any other light. I mean, the prosecution chose to bring him to trial, bring him to a jury trial. Now, they claim that with this bill that they're not, because it's so very... what I'm looking for. It's very broad. It doesn't seem to mean anything. It's just that, oh, as soon as someone is offended and there's any religious imagery involved, you can just bring on this particular law into effect as your own, you know, like with your own personal vendetta against atheism, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to say that the guy did himself any favors. He was actually arguing that anyone who would be offended and try to convict him have a very weak belief system that's not open to any criticism. And I tend to agree with him, although I would say that that was probably not the smartest thing to say.
Probably not the smartest argument.
I think that they what they probably wanted from him was a sincere apology, some kind of like, I'll never do this again, because of course they want to whip your ass and they want to get you to beg to, you know, for forgiveness. Be like, please forgive me, you know? They're all about that anyways. They love their whole little forgiveness thing if you beg for it. If you fucking get down on your knees and beg for it. Otherwise, nope, you're burning in hell, motherfuckers, or in this case, you're going to get ass fucked in prison. This is it for blasphemy. For fucking blasphemy.
Yeah, we definitely need some people in the UK, some people with big swinging balls, to go into a whole bunch of airports and just leave a whole bunch of these pamphlets all over the place. We need
more balls.
Effort.
We need more balls. Here's the thing. It's in John Lennon Airport. You remember the guy who sang Imagine No Religion? He's rolling around in his grave right now. Rolling around in that grave. The very fact that there is even a prayer room in that airport seems to me some deep irony that I just can't seem to, you know, fathom, comprehend, or accept.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between having a song where you're like, the world could be better without religion, and saying, no prayer rooms in my airport, motherfuckers.
Well, it wasn't the only song where he was talking against God. All his songs were fucking anti-God, practically. Just go through his lexicon of of his lyrics. You'll see what I'm talking about. The man was no fan of religion, let's just say. It strikes me, I'm just scared. I'm scared of these fucking laws, because technically anybody who would print out a couple pages of The Good Atheist lying around in a prayer room could just be found guilty as well and spend years in jail.
I'm pretty sure if you played our podcast out loud at an airport, it could possibly constitute...
Blasphemy? Yeah, definitely it would. Definitely. And that is, in a country that tries to describe itself as secular, it's pretty frightening. I mean, this is Great Britain, all right? This is not Saudi Arabia. This is not fucking, Iran. This is the United Kingdom. And I gotta say, shame on you guys. Shame on you. I mean, if you are an atheist there right now in the UK and you've done nothing, what the fuck are you waiting for? Please, you have to try to do something. He's going to be convicted on April 23rd. I strongly recommend that you guys get fucking organized over there and let them know how outrageous this shit is. You have to fight this law. Do you understand me? It has to be killed. This law must go, because this is outrageous. I don't know how long he's going to spend in jail. More than one day is too much. It's fucking scary. It is absolutely scary. Now you got to listen to the show on your headphones, because you can't play them out loud. Who knows who you might offend? Apparently, it is a right to not be offended. You can throw someone in jail for having offended you.
I find the idea of jail time offensive.
Yes, yes, we are. We live in a scary world, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a scary, scary world. Okay, you know what? Let's wrap it up. And we'll catch everybody for the bonus show. I guess we're going to try to record it. We're trying to catch up a little bit, eh? On some shows.
I don't mind doing some kind of super, super week next week where it's like bam, bam, bing, bang, boom. Lots of radio shows coming
out. Well, they'll have to forgive me for my traveling lag. It's not always easy to, you know, to come back and then just get into the swing of things. We needed a good day to recoup. But we're going to be back to it regularly next week anyway, so it shouldn't be a problem. I don't know if any of you caught this. We had a live show just a few days ago. We're going to be trying this a little bit more often. We're going to be doing it as the bonus show, so that any of you who aren't members who want to catch the bonus show for free will be able to listen to it live.
Wait, did you just commit us to doing a live show?
No, not next week. I'm just saying that these shows will be bonus shows. So what we're doing is we're offering bonus shows for free when they're live, if you listen to it live. That's our olive branch.
I'm down.
And we'd like to remind you guys that if you love the show and you want to hear more of it, we do have a patron-only show. It's $20 a year. You get the backlog of shows now, like 44 bonus podcasts, which represent probably like 30 hours of fucking radio goodness.
And trust me, nothing much has changed in the world of religion over the past 2 years, so it's all very relevant still. Unfortunately, still very relevant.
It's not even a year's worth of podcasts. It's actually less than a year, because we haven't been doing this bonus thing for a whole year yet. That's why we're at number 44. A whole year would have been close to 50.
Mm.
See how good I am? I can count. So yes, this helps us continue to do what we do, and we like doing what we do, so we appreciate your support. Okay, folks, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.